welcome back to another episode of the Cowbell Fever Podcast. Back by popular demand, we have Chief Meteorologist Ketzel Evans, and yeah, well, there's a lot of interesting weather to talk about, even for the upper Midwest. The top line is that the weather won't be so different that it puts the race in jeopardy, but it's not going to be one of those years where we're talking about temperatures a few degrees one way or another from like 12 or 14 degrees. There's a lot to come, and really, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, so stay tuned to the National Weather Service Duluth office. That said, last year we were wondering in early February whether we were going to have enough snow for a race at all. Much of a race, they were going to put something on, but getting to Main Street. And so this year with good snowpack, even if we have some of the R word, it isn't the end of the world. We're just not exactly sure what's going to fall. Which means that it's a particularly good year for a race wax service. This is a tongue twister somehow, but once again, we're sponsored by Pioneer Midwest's Race Wax Service. Say that three times fast. Do you have the right wax for any number of conditions that you could find out about at like 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon? Probably not, but they do. Use the code podcast at pioneermidwest.com so they know we sent you. And as I mentioned in the episode, I've put some of the Patreon dollars to good use for some audio upgrades. I asked my friend Lincoln, who does this for a living, and he suggested a company called Rode. I said, I have Rode, I have Rode Blue, I have Rode Multigrade. He says, no, no, this is another company. It's not a guy in Italy stuffing wax into tubes, but it's an audio company called Rode. I learn something new every day. But with this upgrade, we should be able to have better audio on Saturday. If you want to support more of this podcast habit, if you want me to get Rode of all different flavors and all different shapes and sizes, go to patreon.com/offsevit. OFSEVIT, and thank you to everyone who's already part of the Patreon team. We've had multiple requests to have Ketzel Evans on, our chief meteorologist, out of the Duluth office. I have my 15-month-old with us right now, so if you hear some yelping, that's him. We'll try to edit it out, right? You're going to be good and not pull my headphones out. And, yeah, you know, I think a couple weeks ago, everything looked great, and now we have some interesting weather coming up. But I guess sort of start telling us what the winter's been like up in the Northwoods so far, then we can go from there.
Yeah, we have had a winter up in the Northwoods, which has been the first amazing part. So we started our snow season up here right, just a couple days before Thanksgiving, essentially back in November. We had a pretty warm fall. We were kind of just sitting around waiting to see if any snow would fall. We had a good solid storm that brought anywhere from like 6 to 12 inches across the whole area around that Thanksgiving time frame, and that just really kicked off having a base that stuck around. The Berkey area got a second good storm later in December, and so they really built up their base pretty quick and have definitely had a great time with that. The Berkey Trail, the couple times we've gone down, has just been in unbelievably amazing condition, especially after the last two kind of rough years. So they started off hot and heavy, and then we fell into this clipper pattern. So clippers, for anyone unfamiliar, is the short term for an Alberta clipper. So these are just little low pressure systems that sort of sneak down from the Canadian plains up into the upper Midwest, Great Lakes area, and they tend to not bring a whole lot of snow with them. They'll bring a little bit of like very dry snow, and then also just some wind. So we'll get light snows that then start to blow around. And so that's been the most of our precipitation making this winter. It has been really, really good for lake effect snow, of course. And there's a couple times that that lake effect band has reached all the way down to Cable and benefit kind of the northern third of the trail or so with some additional light snow. But then we've also had a couple warm-ups too. So kind of late December, early January, we had a thaw, and then we're in one right now as well. But our last big systems were over 2 months ago now at this point for the Berkey area. So before this thaw, we were actually working with fairly dry snow, doesn't have a ton of moisture in it, and fairly untransformed. So that January thaw didn't do a whole lot because then we got really, really cold for the second half of January, totally just preserved the base. So now we're finally getting into transforming some of that snow that we have on the ground, but it still looks like winter.
So with all that cold and with the snow cover, some of that was able to permeate down. I know in the past we've talked about what the frost depth is, and the ice depth on Lake Hayward. It sounds like neither of those are going to be a concern this year.
Absolutely not. Yeah, we've had some really good cold snaps, and especially that second half of January, we spent a lot of time not only below freezing, but below zero for a number of days, especially overnight. So lake ice on all of our area lakes is thick and plentiful. We're even at about 50% ice coverage on Lake Superior as well. So we've built a lot of ice, and our frost depths are pretty deep as well. At the office here in Duluth, we have 14 inches at last measurement, but around the area, it's anywhere from 10 to 30 inches of frost depth. So things are frozen pretty solidly.
And the Berkey was out. They had a video of them out on the trail saying it's really refrigerating the snow from the ground up. So as long as you sort of have dry, warm air on top, you're just melting the top layer, cools overnight, and not really destroying a lot of that base.
Absolutely, too. Yeah. And I watched that video, and it sounds like they have been doing minimal to almost no grooming either. So just like they had talked about in that video, like, they're not bringing any of that air into the snowpack themselves. And so it's just sitting as kind of a glorified ice chunk on the landscape.
And hopefully that's something we get to ski. Now, you were out doing some snow core samples. What does that entail?
Yeah, so that is mostly well north of Berkey Land, but we take a couple observations in northwest Wisconsin too. This is to inform spring flood outlooks and drought monitoring and fire weather conditions as we get into the spring. We go out and measure at a bunch of predetermined locations, both the snow depth and the snow water equivalent. So we go out to a bunch of predetermined locations and we measure the snow water equivalent and the snow depth. So how deep the snowpack is just out on the ground in inches, and then how much water it's holding too. And so that's what's really the important thing, because once that snow starts to melt, we want to know how much water is going to be running off into rivers and creeks and all of that kind of thing. And it also is kind of informative as a skier just to kind of know what the snow characteristics are. So that's why I can really fairly confidently say, like, we have a pretty dry snowpack out there. Because most of the snows that we've had outside of those big systems at the beginning of the winter just didn't have a lot of moisture with them, which means that in order to get to a point where snow is actually actively melting, it has to go through a pretty big transformation process. So our current snow density is actually only at about 15 to 25% as of last week anyways. That has probably changed since the thaw. And in order to actually start melting snow, we needed density to be a lot closer to 50%. So we needed to compact a lot more and start to transform, get to that corn snow stage, and then it's actually ready to melt. So it has to go through this whole transformation first. And what we saw at least last week when we were doing some more of those snow surveys, so it just wasn't at that stage yet.
So sounds like the snowpack, as of right now, we're recording this on Monday, hopefully getting it up on Monday as well, is in pretty good shape given the thaw. But we have some interesting weather coming down the road this week. I mean, we're talking about multiple systems, all different types of precipitation type. And the models are still trying to get a handle on this. Do you want to talk about just what we've seen in the last couple of days and what we're looking at as of right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So the last couple of days since late last week have featured highs well above freezing. So we've been getting up into the 40s, even some low 50s too in our neck of the woods. So we are transforming that snow, but we're going well back below freezing at night, especially because we've had a lot of sun, which also means we have a lot of clear skies at night. It really allows us to cool off very effectively. So we'll see, especially this time of year, with all of our deciduous and hardwood and conifer trees, they soak up a lot of sun, and around their trunks and stuff, you know, it'll get down to the ground. So we've seen a bit of a thaw. It's helped get some ice off sidewalks. And then upcoming this week, we went through fall, spring, and now we're getting reminded that it is still very much February and winter. And we've got kind of the main big system is a Tuesday night through Thursday morning. And then there's maybe a second system on Friday too. And then all of that pulls in some cooler air. So the Wednesday system is going to probably by far be the most interesting and potentially most concerning. So there's kind of late Tuesday night, we have still this warm air starting sticking around. And so there's this huge question mark of exactly where the freezing line sets up. And where that 32-ish degree mark is going to make the determination on, are you seeing rain, freezing rain, or wet, heavy snow at the ground? And right now, unfortunately, Berkey Land is just flirting with that freezing line, depending on, you know, pick your favorite model at this point. You can find solutions that do bring the freezing line all the way down to Hayward. It stays as, you know, a little bit of rain at the beginning, and then it moves to mostly snow. But there are also, unfortunately, more of the majority of solutions right now put that freezing line kind of around or just north of Cable. And it actually brings a fair amount of rain to the Berkey Trail before it turns over to snow as we go through the day Wednesday and into Thursday morning.
If that falls as rain, it's going to fall in the 33 to 35 degree range. That's obviously better than if it's warm rain, but not preferable to snow.
Definitely not preferable to snow. The snowpack would probably soak up that rain to a certain point. It should still have some availability to soak up some moisture. The ground is really frozen solid, though, so it's not going to be permeating into the soil at all. It would just kind of get stuck at the bottom of the snowpack if it went anywhere, and then at a certain point it would be leading to some melting as well. So that's definitely a concern. And then hopefully there should be at least some light snow at the end, and it won't just turn into a glacier. It'll turn into a frozen glacier with a little bit of fresh snow on top.
I think for some of our open track friends, that might be a rough day of it on Wednesday, and might also be hard for the Berkey to have a lot of people on the trail, and then it's going to be some interesting grooming. What then happens after Wednesday? What are we looking at Thursday, Friday, and of course Saturday?
Yeah, so then through the end of the week after something falls on the open trackers on Wednesday, rain, maybe snow, we're going to start to see those temperatures finally start to fall below freezing as we go through the rest of the week. It certainly won't be a jump off a cliff kind of temperature drop, but it will be just sort of a steady decrease. So Thursday, highs still probably touch freezing. Friday, Saturday, you're getting more into a below freezing all day, lows in the teens, 20s, highs in the 20s, close to 30. And we'll probably hold some sort of precipitation Thursday. That will probably just be kind of like light passing snow showers for anyone doing junior Berkey, 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 anything like that. For the Cordy skiers on Friday, there is the potential for another quick system to be passing through on Friday, which could bring, this is not a mixed precipitation concern. This is more of a will it hit the area or not kind of concern. Will it kind of be strong enough? So there are definitely some solutions that have heavier snow coming from this one, upwards of 4+ inches. And there's some solutions that have it just miss the area entirely. But if it does come, it would be all snow. So Cordy skiers probably going to ski through at least some light snow, if not some moderate stuff as well.
Yep.
Thankfully for Saturday, the precipitation chances really start to go down. So if we're going to be skiing through anything on Saturday, it's going to be just kind of light occasional snow showers with some sort of light northwesterly winds. Temperatures at that point, still a little bit variable, but starting temperatures on Saturday, we're probably talking somewhere in the teens to like lower 20s at its warmest, and then warming up into those kind of mid to high 20s, maybe close to 30 by the time we're in the heat of the day on Saturday. So the Saturday conditions are just going to be really dependent on what happens in the 3 days before it.
Yeah, which every day is going to be dependent on what happens the day before it. And I think there are some years where we can look out and say, we're going to have X, Y, and Z. It's, 3 degrees one way or another from 18 degrees doesn't really matter this year. There's a lot of differences. Friday for the Cordalopet skiers, if that storm does hit, it could be a reasonable amount of snow, impact some of the driving to and from the start, and make for maybe a slower, softer race than we might anticipate. Do you think there will be enough cold on Wednesday night, Thursday, and Thursday night that the base will freeze up, or might it sort of be snow over a still wet base?
It would probably be some snow over a wet-ish base. With all of these systems passing through, there's going to be plenty of cloud cover. So I'm not expecting the temperatures to absolutely drop out on any of these overnights like they can sometimes for Berkey week. Pretty confident that we'll get below freezing both Thursday morning and Friday morning. We're talking probably in the 20s. That should help freeze things up. And then it's a little bit dependent on just exactly what the grooming ends up doing. So by the time Friday morning rolls around, we should be mostly working with fairly frozen snow again, especially since we're starting from a pretty frozen spot.
And then maybe even if that new snow is falling, it'll be cold enough that it'll be sort of freezing things up. It's not going to be falling at 32, 33 degrees. That'll be a colder snow.
Yeah, absolutely not. It's not, it should not by any means look like what the snow at the Olympics looked like most recently, where it was visibly wet. You know, this is going to be a cooler air mass coming in with snow that isn't as bad. Any snow that does fall on Wednesday will likely be a pretty heavy wet variety, talking snow to liquid ratios of less than 10 to 1. But the snow on Friday would be a bit of a different air temperature regime, so we would definitely be thinking more like a standard 10 to 15 to 1 snow to liquid ratio. It's not super fluff, but it's not super wet either.
I don't really envy the Berkey groomers this week, who have to thread a bunch of needles to run the events that they need to run and not screw up the snow for later events, but not have events that they can't really run. I also don't really envy the classic waxers, who are looking down the pipes of some kind of event. I guess for the open track skiers, that's really probably going to be some kind of clister, unless we do get that colder air and we do have snow. Do you want to talk a minute about if it does snow, how the dynamic cooling would work, how we could go from rain to snow if we do have that heavier precipitation?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a potential that, you know, we have such an intense precipitation, we have so much heat release happening, that the storm and the air kind of ends up cooling itself. And so there's a potential that, especially if we get just a slight shift south too, when we get that freezing line to kind of get out of the area, we could be more on that heavy, wet snow side. And yeah, that makes waxing an absolute headache, because you might have rain overnight that switches to heavy wet snow, and the minute you start to get more of that new snow in, clister is gonna not be working anymore. So that's gonna be a really thin line to thread. Skins might be the answer in that case. Skate skiing might be the answer.
Hop over to the other trail.
Just, you know, pull the old fish scales out at a certain point. it will be actively precipitating pretty much through the entire day on Wednesday. The question is just, what's the precipitation type? The heaviest, either rain or snow, is going to come overnight into early Wednesday morning, but it's not going to just let up by the time open track is starting. So you'll have something falling on you. That's something to take into consideration for what you're going to wear as well. If it's actively raining or snowing. There's also the potential, there are some solutions that have snow in Cable and rain in Hayward. The Berkey Trail could literally go through the freezing line in some of these solutions. And so,
and it could be moving around.
It could be moving around. It could change as it goes. You could just follow the freezing line south to Hayward.
This is something we're used to on like the East Coast, where we have an oceanic influence and we have a lot of storms right around freezing. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a new experience for some Berkey skiers.
Yeah, the upper Midwest does not tend to have this sort of situation nearly as much. I was reminded by some friends of a Berkey somewhere in the teens where it was raining and they skied through inches of water on the lake.
2017 was canceled. 2016?
16, yeah.
I was just looking at this. So there's a lot of snowpack. It was warm. It rained the day before. We thought it might go below freezing, and it never did.
Mm.
But they were able to compact the base. So we were sort of on like a hard slush base that I think was still kind of freezing up. It was a surprisingly compact base. It wasn't especially fast. But then, you got to the lake, and the lake had completely melted off. They didn't have time to transport snow or push snow. So the lake was just, it wasn't ice, but it was like ice with a mixture of ice, slush, and water, and it was sort of water skiing across the lake.
Oof.
At least at that point, you knew you had 3K to go. That may have been before the International Bridge, so you didn't even have to climb the bridge. You're just going to get on a main street and be done.
And just be done.
And I think that was the first year I did. I should look back and see if we have a podcast of people after the race talking about how sort of wet they were. You know, it had stopped raining. I don't think town was that bad to walk around in, but if you had forgotten to pack dry shoes in your drop bag,
just a mess.
I think it was messy. So especially for those open track skiers, and probably anyone, although it'd probably be pretty frozen by Saturday, Yeah, make sure to put shoes in your bag because you're going to want dry shoes. You're going to want all dry clothes, but especially shoes and socks when you get to Hayward.
Yeah, and you might want a plastic bag to put all your wet stuff in so it doesn't tarnish anything else. But
and I'm contractually obligated to mention every podcast this year, this is my 20th Berkey, so that wasn't even that long ago.
Okay. Sounds good. So, yeah, big question mark on the wax on Wednesday. And then later in the week, it's really a what happened yesterday or the day before. How much fresh snow are we working with? How is that getting tilled into the base?
Saturday for sort of the big race, we were going to do this a little earlier. I was going to watch a model run come in, and then it came in. It looks like everything's sort of leaning towards a colder solution, especially overnight, whereby Saturday morning it is down into the teens, so probably enough to freeze the trail down. I think the operational European model is showing some amount of snow coming through on although it's maybe even showing a little mix and then some snow on Friday, but enough cooling down that by the time the race goes off, it'll be pretty chilly. Is that what you're seeing? Something that'll probably be able to freeze the race down and have some nice grooming for Saturday?
Yeah, honestly, I think that the full Berkey skiers are probably going to have the better, I don't want to say the best, but better conditions of the weekend, just because we're going to be a little bit more removed from that precipitation, and then the trail is going to have time to freeze down. So yeah, I mean, especially once you get into the teens, that snow is going to freeze up really nicely. If anything, it should make for a nice solid base, and just kind of, if it ends up being more on the rain side on Wednesday, then it's a matter of kind of tilling up some of that ice or working in any snow that falls. It'll be interesting and transformed slash maybe new as well at the same time.
Well, and if you go back far enough, I think in the sort of 2009-2010 timeframe, we had a couple of really fast Berkeys where they had older frozen snow with a lot of moisture in it that froze up with some new snow on top. And then they were able to till that together. Mm-hmm. And that's a really nice combination, I think, really for both skate and classic, where you get fast snow, good hard tracks, and not terrible waxing, where you can sort of do a covered clister and have really nice kick the whole way, but good glide as well, if you have the right skis. So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily looking forward to fretting out the weather, but if we can sort of thread that needle by Saturday, you know, those are the Berkeys that I think I skated a couple Berkeys in like 2 hours and 20 minutes. And you just kind of feel like you're flying the whole way. So it'd be nice to have something like that. You know, on the other hand, if we do get one of those solutions that spits out 8, 10, 12 inches of new snow on Friday, they have to do their best. They'll probably plow some off the course, but then we could wind up with a nice slow race. So I guess and if nothing happens, we could be on a skating rink. So I guess it's really anyone's guess at this point.
It is kind of anyone's guess. And at this point, I think I'd rather have something fall out of the sky than nothing to minimize the skating rink situation. I'd rather deal with mashed potatoes than skating rink personally, but it's going to be hard either way.
It's going to be hard either way. But again, we might thread that needle to really nice conditions. Saturday, does it still look like we're going to have that sort of upper level low circulating around and maybe sort of more clouds than sun? I know that's sort of the hardest thing to forecast.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most unfair questions to ask, is what the cloud cover is going to be on day, what is this, 5, 6 at this point? Right now, you're kind of stuck in some of that northwesterly flow on Saturday. My best sort of conceptual model for that is we'll at least be partly cloudy, with even the potential that you get like some stray snow showers that come in and out. So definitely probably want some glasses, and you're probably not going to wear your darkest lenses either. Probably have some cloud cover for most of the Berkey events. Would be my guess. You know, the chance precipitation is technically non-zero all the way through the weekend. It's in that kind of 15 to 20% range. And I think that's just sort of capturing that northwest cold air convection kind of scattered shower, partly to mostly cloudy situation.
And then we're probably not going to have that prototypical late winter starts around zero, 35 and sunny on the lake, sort of sunbathing in the afternoon kind of day. It might be one of those chillier days on Main Street.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, that's such classic Berkey at this point. It seems like they managed to get that, you know, 4 out of 5 years. I don't think we're going to quite have that experience this year. It'll definitely be cooler in the morning, warmer in the afternoon. Like, the sun is definitely doing something, but a little bit of that northwest wind, could be some little gusty guys out on the lake especially, might feel a little bit cooler. So definitely, no matter what race you're doing this year, make sure you've got full change of clothes and stuff to stay warm, especially if you get onto the wet side.
Normally, I do spend most of the afternoon walking around Hayward. I actually got new microphones this year. We thank you to people who've contributed to the Patreon. I went out and spent some of that so I don't lose half the audio to the wind as I have in the past. I'm not using it today, but I have started the unboxing process. One thing that we're looking at is it's for the first time in, I think, 11 years, the ice caves up in the Apostle Islands are look like they're open. And if it can survive the thaw in the next few days, we might just drive up there and really have quite a day on Saturday where we take a little hike after the Berkey and hope our legs don't cramp up during the experience.
Yeah, it is. It's quite the hike out there. So I'm originally from Bayfield, so I have a whole like back in my day story about the ice caves, but definitely monitor the conditions. I'm less worried about the thaw for the ice caves staying open than I am about the wind. So Lake Superior will probably see northeast winds in excess of 40 to 50 miles per hour Tuesday into Wednesday. And so that has a better potential to start to break up and make for unsafe ice than.
And that could push the ice the wrong way from the open water, push it the wrong way down the lake.
Yeah, and it can just start to really cause a lot of friction on that ice. It starts to break up and the Park Service can determine it's not safe anymore.
Either way, it'll be a fun day. I will, as I've pointed out, be getting my purple bib.
Very nice.
Always an exciting year to look forward to the Berkey. I think there are certainly years we've had an easier time of figuring out what the weather is going to be, but we definitely have a lot to look at. It's one of the more interesting years, and I guess all else fails, we'll see you on the lake and see you in Hayward.
Yep, one day at a time. We'll see you there.
Thanks again, as always, to Quetzal. Autocorrect says Kettle, and I will note that she needs barely any prep or editing, really is a pro. And the answer to whether there's a podcast from 2016 is yes, there most certainly is one. It is episode 1, 2, 3 of the podcast. And this is episode 70, and the count doesn't count that high. But if he did, he'd find out that after 10 years and 70 episodes, that's where we get upgraded equipment. So we're obviously firing on all cylinders here. Back then, we even had a producer. Well, thank you to Sam Evans Brown for helping get the pod off the ground all those years ago. Thank you to everyone who was in the podcast that year and some of them every year. And thanks to people on Patreon, patreon.com/offsevit. Thanks to Pioneer Midwest. Pioneer Midwest, use code podcast. And if you need more information on that, check the show notes. Stay tuned for the Main Street episode. It'll be coming up sometime in February or March sometime in the summer. And even more podcasting to come after the race. If conditions merit, we might have something before, but most likely, this is the last you're going to hear from us before race day. See you in Cable.